Hey everyone, and welcome back to episode 5 of Riotcast. I'm joined today by my friend Tyler James, who is a boxer, and he knows about as much as boxing as I do about MMA. So we're going to talk about boxing and MMA this time. And we tried recording this episode last night, but we were a little too messed up to record. We recorded and it was gibberish, so
yeah, it didn't make any sense at all.
Yeah, we deleted those ramblings. I found out you're not 27. I met him when I was 16 years old. Yeah. And it turns out he was
19.
So not 27, although he kept up that for years.
Yes, I did. I was committed in by then, man.
Yeah. Why were you committed in? Tell the people. Why you tell people you're older?
Oh, because I got busted for having a fake ID when I was younger and trying to buy beer. And then it was kind of like a running joke between me and my friends. And then I met my ex-girlfriend now. And she kind of just bought in that I was that old. And I just stayed with it. Nobody ever questioned the fact that I was 27 for like 4 years.
You know, dude, I'm just saying, like, why wouldn't you want to be younger? Like, that help with, like, ladies and everything, you know? That's... I can't believe, because everyone would always be like, there's no way he's 27. We've had conversations about it. I'm like, I don't know. I guess he's 27. And so you juked us out there. But last night we watched, let me pull it up. I believe it was UFC Fight Night 147, which was Darren Till versus Jorge Masvidal. And I believe I picked Darren Till, but I'm actually going to go back to the prelims real quick. I picked on the prelims. I believe I picked Mark Chiesa. I said it could be a tough night, but I picked him. And he won by decision. I picked Arnold Allen, who also won by decision. I'm not trying to like rush through these, but I do want to talk about the main event really bad. And then, let me see. I don't remember who I picked in Jack Marshman, John Phillips, but Jack Marshman won, again, by decision. A lot of decisions this card. I don't remember who I picked in the Danny Roberts, Claudio Silva fight, but that got stopped via verbal tap. However, that verbal tap never happened. That guy was looked like he was going to let his arm break before he gave up.
Yeah. Which, if that is the case, from my opinion, it seems like the ref did him a favor stopping the fight.
Kind of, but hear me out. Like, with the fight contracts, like, let's say you make 15 grand to show up and make weight and get in the octagon. So if you lose, you make 15 grand. And if you win, you make an additional 15 grand. He got shorted half his paycheck. It'd be like if you make, let's say, 900 bucks a paycheck. And I'm like, I'm going to pay you, 450 this time.
Yeah.
Instead of, whatever. So.
Yeah, I can see your point there. I mean, when it comes to money, you don't want people messing with that.
Yeah, no, I think fighters should just be paid, like, a total win or lose. Because when you go in there, you don't really care about the money. I mean, you care about the money because you need to feed your family and yourself. But, like, you're going to fight your heart out either way. You're trying not to get your ass beat.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, you're right. I mean, if he wanted to let the arm break so that he could try to win, I guess that's his choice.
Yeah, if anything, I think he deserves a bonus because he got kind of cheated. I mean, it was a good fight, but that was a huge bummer. I feel like every card there's a little bit of that, though, or there's just some BS every single card. But, again, being a ref, though, is super hard, so I'm not trying to be a hater. And then Nathaniel Wood versus Jose Quinones. I don't remember who I picked. I wasn't super familiar with these guys. Nathaniel Wood got a submission in round 2. And Jose Quinones, in case you don't remember, it's been a day now, was the dude who did all the weird hopping.
Yeah, he had really inefficient footwork. I remember that.
I was, I don't know what was going on there. I don't have much to say about that fight other than congrats to Nathaniel Wood. And I'm not trying to rush through these. I want to talk about the main event, so I'm kind of like giddy. But so after the Nathaniel Wood fight, we had Volkan Ozdemir versus Dominic Reyes. And I'm Pretty sure I picked Volkan Ozdemir round one or two knockout, but Dominic Reyes, he did good, but
yeah,
it's been a day now, but I'm pretty sure we thought he lost that fight.
Yeah, just barely though.
I was pretty sure, yeah, Volkan had for sure two rounds, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Now, with that said, Dominic Reyes' counters were great. Like, he'd cover and throw, but he was getting tagged a lot. So, I didn't think he did enough to win that fight. But, you know, they gave him the decision. And, I mean, I guess you just had to... I don't know. I'm not sure what the judges saw. Last time there was a couple fights like that, and this time I felt like there was a couple fights like that. Or last time there was one fight, but...
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on what the judges are looking for, you know?
Yeah, I'm not trying to have a bunch of... I don't know, man. I'm thinking about it, and I'm just like, I don't know.
Reyes did have better movement.
Did he, though? I mean, he's getting backed up the whole time. No.
I think he was leading him into punches.
And then Leon Edwards versus Gunnar Nelson. I think I might have picked Leon Edwards. Yeah. He got a decision in round three. And again, in that fight, he had round two for sure. Gunnar Nelson, when he fights, I feel like he just... He doesn't do a whole lot, so he wins rounds, but he like barely wins rounds. So I guess, you know, I don't think he did enough. I don't think Leon Edwards did enough at the end of round one to steal the round, you know, because there was a lot of control time for Gunnar Nelson.
Yeah.
And at the end, he landed a couple strikes, but, like, I don't think it was enough to erase, you know, 4.5 minutes of control.
Yeah. Well, I mean, didn't Lyoto Machida have kind of that same problem?
I don't know. They both have a karate stance. I don't think Leon Machida was like front kick knocking people out, wasn't he?
Yeah. I feel like he got worked quite a bit, though.
I don't know.
No, I guess he really was the gold standard of hit and not get hit, so.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. I'm a little bit sick still, and we're trying to make this episode for you guys. We had a lot of thoughts, and we're being respectful, but like I think some of the judging is just unacceptable. Because, I mean, maybe I could see one or two people. I can't really see anyone being like, Leon Edwards stole that round. Like, I thought Gunnar definitely had the round, even though he did not a whole lot. And then, again, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I saw the fight wrong. I don't know. I'm willing to debate. But I felt Leon Edwards lost round one, and he was losing round two until he got that knockdown. So I give him round two. And then I thought he lost round three. Again, you know, Gunnar Nelson not doing a whole bunch, but he was controlling the fight. So when nothing's happening, but someone's controlling it, like, that's a win. It's a 10-9. So some shady judging in London. I believe this was in London. Yeah, the O2 Arena.
Yeah.
And then Darren Till versus Jorge Masvidal. I'm pretty sure I said Till would outstrike him. I was correct. Till was outstriking him. Good head movement. Perfect everything. Yes. Even, like, control on the cage. And I'm a huge Jorge Masvidal fan now. And I was before. And every time I picked against him, he's won. So yeah. I think the best thing that could happen to him is I'd pick against him every time. So he just is undefeated from here on out. But, man, he was... I felt it was a good fight. It was contested, you know, it was a contest for sure. And but I thought Till was picking him apart pretty dominantly, even though there's some exchanges where he's getting clipped. And his head movement was on point. I think he was really just, I mean, controlling the fight pretty much everywhere. And then Jorge Masvidal, you know, was still keeping it pretty scrappy and managed to do like a switch step. Like
overhand. Yeah, like a shifting over.
I don't remember exactly what it was. Yeah, it was interesting and knocked him out cold. It took me a second. Like as he was falling to the canvas, I was like, did he just knock him out?
Yeah.
And then
I
was like, I screamed at the TV. I was like, whoa, like I'm a huge fan now.
It was shocking actually. Yeah, I think he was timing it for when Till would kind of post out with his lead hand now, to
here's why I'm glad we didn't post the episode yesterday because I was watching some YouTube videos today, and I found out something that we didn't talk about originally.
What?
So in the back after the fight, Leon Edwards had walked up to Darren, or not, sorry, not Darren Till, walked up to George Masvidal while George Masvidal was doing an interview, said he was going to knock him out or something. And I don't know exactly what he said, but basically, Jorge Masvidal, George Masvidal, however you want to say it, was like, say it to my face then. He walked over there with his hands behind his back, and Leon Edwards, I guess, put his hands up and came at him in like a fighting stance. And so Jorge Masvidal takes his hands from behind his back and hits him with like four or five punches real quick. And I don't think he got hit back. And then they separated it. But it was pretty badass. I was a fan of Jorge Masvidal before, but now he's one of my favorite fighters.
Because, just because of that move?
Because I don't know why I'm not... I don't know. I love it when people just shut down the shit talk and like...
I respected him when he did the running dick punch to start.
Oh yeah, he started the fight with a sprinting dick kick, guys. Literally,
that's how you start a fight.
Sprints out, and I think he meant to do like, I don't know what he's trying to do. Probably a body kick, like a running body kick,
push kick. Yeah,
I don't know. I'm gonna have to rewatch that, and I'll make sure I update you guys with what I think it was. But yeah, he runs out, kicks Darren Till right in the dick, and. I don't know if y'all have ever been in a fight, but, like, I don't know if I ever want to start. I don't know if anyone's ever started a fight so beautifully. And you could tell he didn't mean to and immediately apologized. He, like, puts his hands together and he's like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
And, like, it was great. I was like, oh, man, this main event might be a shit show. And it ended up being my favorite fight of the year so far, I think.
Yeah, it was really good.
It was amazing because, like, every time I thought Till was gonna have a dominant round, he'd come back and sort of start landing like crazy ass combos too. Like, it was competitive, but I thought Till had it in the bag every round until he got clipped and knocked out.
But Till, I saw him getting clipped throughout every round.
eating some hard shots for sure every round. I mean, I'm not saying he was like just skating through, I just mean like I felt he controlled.
Yeah,
and it was pretty obvious, especially for the judges that were there that night, that he was winning. And, you know, although then again, he was the London fighter, so he could have been fucking ground and pounded for five rounds, and they probably would have given it to him.
Well, maybe you can explain something to me, but it seemed like he just kind of held his chin up high and stood up straight.
There's a lot of people who do that in MMA. Even McGregor, like, they kind of hold their chin high. I don't know. I'm not really sure where that comes from.
Or what the advantage of it is.
Style points? I don't know. Like, I feel like a lot of guys like that have, like, a little bit of a karate style. Like, even Gunnar Nelson's chin's, like, he's almost pointing it at you. Like, yeah. I don't know what that's about. Because if my chin comes up even slightly, my coach is screaming at me, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I could...
In the exchanges, it's easy to get it up there. Because, you know, your hands in boxing are closer to your temples. Whereas in MMA, I like to hold them just a little bit more, like, in front of my eyebrows so I can parry. Because you're not going to do a high guard in MMA.
Yeah,
I mean, you might, but it's going to work for about 2 seconds before the gloves start coming through because they're fist-sized, not pillow-sized.
Yeah, that wouldn't work.
And this is coming from a boxer, so I'm not being a hater right now. I just think the MMA gloves are much more superior as far as, like, actual fighting goes.
Oh, yeah, I mean...
Yeah. No, I love watching boxing, but I do like the smaller gloves. Like, bare-knuckle boxing is kind of where it's at for me.
What?
I don't know. I like it. I like that. But I don't like Paulie Malignaggi, so I'm not going to watch him do it. But, like, I'm going to watch some other people do it. I just don't like how cut up they get. I worry about the scar tissue. But I'm getting sidetracked. Point is...
I'm worried about, like, brain... Well, no, they can't hit as hard when they're in bare knuckles.
No, yeah, there's more knockouts when there's boxing gloves on. Because so boxing gloves aren't there to protect the other fighter. They're there to protect your hands so you don't break them. And then under that, your hands are not wrapped like you wrap them at the gym, but they are taped. And if you've ever trained with wrapped hands for any amount of time, over 6 months, then, you know, you've probably got form that's good enough to realize, like, with wrapped hands, you punch a little bit harder. Not, like, super significant, but it's notably harder. And then when your hands are taped, you punch even harder than when they're wrapped. Yeah, because, you know, with wraps, your hands still can move around a little bit. But with tape, it's like your hand is, like, in a cast almost. And all you can do is open your fingers and close your fingers and cause death and mayhem. So, I don't know. Everything that's there is really just there for your hands. Because your hands break super easy. And that's what a lot of people don't know.
Yeah.
So, okay, go ahead.
I mean, if you hit somebody definitely with a like normal hook or straight cross, bare knuckles, you're definitely going to break your hand.
I mean, it depends. But yeah, you're pretty much right. Like, it is there to protect your hand. So, like, I think they broke it down. But, like, I can't remember. I think the first, like, big bare knuckle boxing event, they were kind of breaking it down. But, like, with the glove on, there's more knockouts and, you know, because you can just hit harder. Like, it's like, if I put something on your hand where your hand doesn't hurt when you hit something, you're going to be able to hit harder.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't have to worry about breaking your hands, you're going to hit as hard as you can. Harder than you can, technically.
Yeah.
Whereas in bare knuckle boxing, there's a lot fewer knockouts, which means a lot less brain damage for the athletes. But where I worry is there's so many more cuts and stuff. It's a much bloodier sport. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with a few cuts and a little bit of blood, but the scar tissue eventually starts to, you know, really become an issue. Like Rory McDonald has scar tissue, I want to say on his eyebrows and his nose, maybe. There's something wrong with his nose. Point is, you can only take so much damage. And then once that scar tissue builds up, you know, let's say, for example, you have 100 fights and I have 10 fights and I punch you half as hard as you've been punching me. But because I only have 10 fights, you're not opening any cuts. But because you've had 100 fights and I'm not even hitting you very often or very clean or very hard, that scar tissue is there. So it's way easier to open you up and then you're bleeding. So I worry about the longevity of their careers, where they'll have less brain damage. I think they might have more scar tissue and then more.
Well, frankly, I don't think anybody that gets into bare knuckle boxing is looking for much of a career. I mean, that's just not.
Yeah.
I've never even watched bare knuckle boxing personally.
I've watched it. I like it. I like MMA more. I feel like I don't know. I'm an MMA guy, so I'm always going to say MMA. But, like, I don't know. I don't think there's a huge future in bare knuckle boxing for anyone, really. I mean, yeah. There's going to be champions and stuff and people who do careers in it. But, like, I don't think the money's really there. It's just too bloody. It's not as many knockouts, which takes money away. I'm glad people aren't getting knocked out as much.
Yeah.
As an athlete, you know, I feel bad when I knock someone out. But, like, you know, I'm always going to try to knock them out. You know, as they signed up for it. But, like, brain damage-wise, I'm very curious to see how they'll turn out. Because, I mean, it seems like if there's fewer knockouts, they're not getting hit as hard, but again, they're getting cut up so much worse that I can't imagine it's better for them. And their hands are going to be so screwed up. I don't know. Really, you shouldn't be in a fight sport if you're worried about long-term health, but...
Yeah.
Unless you're George St. Pierre, in which case, you know, get out while you can. But
get out while you're on top.
It's... I don't know. It's all dangerous. I like bare-knuckle boxing, but... I don't think it's going to be like a long-term, like a round thing. Because, I mean, all boxing used to be bare knuckle. But, like, Everyone was breaking their hands and they were like, let's put gloves on that. And then it was way more exciting.
Yeah. I don't think you could sell it to the public as well either. Because, you know, everybody's about reducing brain damage right now.
You know, and it's weird because people are like, oh, if we slap on headgear, we'll do that. And headgear doesn't reduce brain damage. What they had it for was, like, I could be wrong here, but I'm pretty sure the only reason it was, like, introduced was the Olympics, because they do tournaments, and in a tournament, let's say I'm the best fighter in a tournament, or, you know, you're the best fighter in a tournament, and let's say you're going against the worst fighter in a tournament and he clips you in the first fight and cuts your eyebrow, that cut could get you out of the tournament just because it's too bad for you to continue. So headgear is more there to prevent cuts. It doesn't really prevent brain damage, because what brain damage is like, if you have a friend near you or something, if you push their head back or you push your own head back real quick, that's what causes brain damage, is when your head snaps back like that. Your brain's like high-fiving your skull. So that's what causes knockouts and brain damage. And so while it will reduce knockouts, your head's still getting whipped around. And so that's what causes concussions and brain damage. And I think they need to just take out headgear.
Yeah, I do too. If anything, I think it gets you hit more. And especially the fact that you can manipulate headgear. You can pull it over your opponent's eyes or push it over and then you just line up.
Well, half the time you just get punched in the headgear and you're trying to fix it, and that's when you really get caught.
Yeah.
I mean, some people are really good at that. They're like, oh, I'm not hitting him, but if I can move his headgear, I can land.
Yeah, and it's easy to obscure people's vision
when they have headgear on. Yeah, I talked about that in one of my podcasts. Just like this last fight, dude, the headgear, like... the wind from his punches would like send that shit in my eyes.
Yeah.
And a little bit vice versa. Like I felt like half the time we were fixing our headgear. It was really irritating. And I know, I don't know, but pro fighters don't have to wear headgear. So back on track, Masvidal Till. I think Masvidal did fight Leon Edwards at one point. I might be crazy, but I think he might be my second favorite fighter at welterweight right now. My first still being Tyron Woodley. That was an amazing fight. I was a big fan after that fight. I was a big fan before that fight, but especially just, man, I hate it when people just talk a bunch of shit and then fighters like are like, oh, let me go. And they have people obviously holding them back.
Yeah.
And they're not really fighting them. It's like a heavyweight with like two toddlers holding their ankles. I'm like, I don't think that's going to stop you.
Yeah.
I don't think anything's really going to stop you if you really want to hurt that person. But like, no, I'm a fan of respectful fighters and I'm a fan of the sport being civilized. But when someone like comes back and talks shit, I love it when a fighter just cracks them. They're like, fuck you. I think it's awesome. I just think it's badass because, you know, you're fighters. So when the other fighter's like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
Even Leon Edwards looked like he was like, I think he called him like a piece of shit or a cunt or something. And like, I was like, well, that's what you get for talking shit to him. And then coming at him with a fighter's stance when he was trying to talk to you. So.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's talking trash these days.
You know, I love it. Yeah. I think it shuts down the shit talk and I think it's awesome. But I hope they don't get fined or suspended for long. I hope they don't get fined or suspended at all. In fact, you know, if Leon Edwards talk shit and then put his hands up and move towards him in a fighting stance, like he said. And there's a video of it, but I couldn't see Leon Edwards super clearly because it looked like there was like a crowd or something. I don't know. Maybe my brightness was too low. But if he actually moved at him like that after talking shit, I think that only Leon Edwards should be fined and or suspended. But, you know, he also took that ass whooping back there, so I think maybe neither, because if someone's coming at you in a fighting stance after they talk shit, like, you're not really in the wrong there.
No, definitely not.
And I mean, you could say he instigated it by going over there, but really he'd just been shit-talked and then approached in an aggressive manner. So I think he could chalk it up to self-defense, and I'd like to see him fight. I think he wanted to fight Kamaru. I think it's a tough matchup for him. I think it's Kamaru, dude, I was wrong about him. He's fucking good. But I'm going to root. I should almost root against Jorge so he can win. But I think Kamaru wins that fight. I think Kamaru is going to keep the belt for a long ass time.
Do you?
I don't know who's going to beat him. Because he controlled that fight everywhere with Tyron. And so Ben Askren can say he's going to win it. But Ben Askren doesn't have striking as good as Kamaru Usman's, and Kamaru Usman's not a striker. I'm very curious to see how the grappling would go.
Yeah.
I think Kamaru whoops him. I don't know. I would hate to put money on that fight, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm not really familiar with either of the fighters.
Don't get me wrong, they're all badasses, but like, I think Kamaru Usman's gonna have the belt for a long time. I love Jorge Masvidal. I loved that fight. I don't know. Fortunately, I don't have to make a pick on that yet. And then we watched Mikey Garcia versus Errol Spence.
Yeah, versus Errol Spence Jr.
That was a great fight. Errol Spence, dude. So good. So good. I hadn't seen him fight before, so I was amazed.
This was my first time watching him fight, too.
I noticed a lot of subtle, like, I call them fuck yous, but it's like mental warfare. So like at one point he pushes Mikey Garcia while they're fighting. And Mikey Garcia, I think, went into that fight not thinking he was going to win that fight because he didn't do much at first.
Yeah.
Until like half the rounds had expired. And then he really started trying to put combos in there. And when he did, he was successful. But the rest of the time, he just kind of stood there with his guard up. I thought that was weird. And they were both undefeated. So really, I hate watching undefeated fighters lose. But like, it looked like he wasn't, I don't know, maybe he was injured, because it didn't look like he came all there until like halfway through the fight, and then
I don't think he ever really showed up.
Well, and Errol Spence was doing subtle things, like, so he, like, Errol Spence pushed Mikey Garcia at one point.
Yeah, you pointed those out
to me. And, you know, like, when you're fighting someone and they push you, or they taunt, or they do anything, you're like, fuck you, and you want to just get them. And I felt like Mikey Garcia just kind of took it and kept his guard up and kept not punching. I thought that was interesting. I think it kind of showed the dynamic of the fight. And then at one point he like was literally like just posting on his head to like flex on him.
Yeah.
But what I thought he did that like might have been the most subtle of all of them, but I think said the most, was when the round was almost over and he was so confident he did more than enough to him that he puts his hands down and just backs up on the ropes for the rest of the round. He's like, I'm just going to let time expire. I'm going to move. Like, I don't have to do anything. You have to do something. And so Mikey Garcia is trying to chase him and punch him, and he's just got his hands down and he's moving away for the last 10 seconds.
Yeah. There was definitely a lot of subtle things like that. But I will say to Errol Spence's credit, because it's easy to be like, well, okay, you know, he was two weight divisions above Mikey Garcia. There was definitely a weight advantage and everything like that. But the whole fight, Errol Spence just had a better knowledge of the southpaw position.
Well, they were both great fighters. I just think that Mikey Garcia just, I don't know. Again, he could have been injured. He just might not have been there.
He couldn't get his jab off. I mean, that
Errol Spence looked like he didn't do the jab. Anything for the first couple rounds there. Like, he really did just hold the high guard. And, again, I'm not a boxing expert, so I'm not trying to, like, talk out of turn here. I just, like, it seemed like maybe something was wrong. Maybe we were seeing maybe something was happening that I wasn't seeing. But, like, it looked like he just wasn't trying to throw. Maybe he was scared to throw. Yeah. And, like, because I've been there, you know, where, like, someone clowns on you early in a round, like in sparring or something, and you're like, well, shit, now I'm scared to throw because he's gonna counter, you know? But holding still is almost worse. And halfway through the fight, it looked like he realized that and started throwing combos, and, you know, he landed some good punches at that point, but for a while, it looked like he was just kind of, like, expiring time, hoping for the best.
Yeah. I mean, I saw that Errol Spence looked like he won that fight off the jab.
Yeah, well, because he would, like, jab, and then he'd, every time he, like, he'd jab, and then he would, like, step out. He'd, you know, take the angle and line up his cross really well.
Yeah.
And so it was going, like, right through the guard of Mikey Garcia. It was a great fight. I liked the fight. Errol Spence, you know, at one point, like, was just starting with body shots, which sometimes can throw off your opponent, but, like, it looked like he had just kind of, like, figured out Mikey Garcia to a level that he felt he could do pretty much whatever in there.
Yeah, he definitely had his rhythm.
Now, I will say, I cannot believe that fight was not a knockout. Because
yeah. I think if Errol Spence had opened up a little bit earlier.
Normally when fighters get in that zone, like, I thought he was in.
He was definitely in.
He was in a zone. Yeah, well, usually when you see that kind of movement from a fighter and they're landing punches like that, you're guaranteed to see a knockout. I was really surprised it wasn't.
I think that Errol Spence did what he should do, because, you know, you could press for the knockout, but at the end of the day, you know, he played the winning game, and the winning game is about not making mistakes.
Yeah, hit it and don't get hit, and, I mean, everyone gets hit in a boxing match, but, like, he was very calculated in there. I don't know, great fight. Again, Mikey Garcia is tough as fuck for not getting knocked out. I mean, that was...
Yeah, definitely.
There's a couple moments there where I was like, oh, this is probably going to end in a couple seconds. And I even said that, and it didn't. So, shout out to Mikey Garcia for being a tough dude.
Yeah.
Especially because he's fighting someone bigger.
Yeah.
shout out to Errol Spence for being, I mean, I feel like boxing's harder to follow than MMA. So, he's definitely a boxer I'm going to watch out for. I felt like, I don't know. I felt like that was just a super dominant win. I don't know who all's in his weight class, but, I mean, he's the champ now, and I don't know. I don't know enough boxers to know if there's someone I need to watch out for him fighting, but, like...
Yeah, I mean, not really a lot of people on his level. I really do feel like he was on another level. When I was in L.A., Freddie Roach had said that he was a boxer to watch for and would be on the pound for pound in a few years, and I definitely agree after finally watching him that he's
it was really amazing. Phenomenal. He had, like, almost King Ryan Garcia? He had, like, similar hand speed to him, so I was super impressed. Mikey Garcia. No, I'm talking about the kid. You know who I'm talking about? His shorts say King Ryan. I'll pull him up on Instagram for you real quick. Just pulling him up right now for people wondering why we're... Him right here, Ryan Garcia.
No.
Dude, he's got like some of the fastest hands in boxing.
Yeah, he does. I know what you're talking. Okay.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about now?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's trying to make me sound crazy, boy. Yeah, no, his hands at one point, like, yeah, I'm not saying it was, like, just as fast or anything, but, like, it looked like he was, just the way he was flurrying on him for a bit there, it looked like he was going to knock him out, like how Ryan Garcia knocks people out.
Yeah.
Where it's just, like, those flurries of hard shots that are fast as fuck at the same time, and he mixes head and body so well, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Well. Go ahead.
Oh, Errol Spence's shot selection, and I felt like he had a better speed. Too, and his jab, I mean, the jab is very hard to establish from the southpaw position, so, and he did an excellent job, kind of reminded me of Pernell Whitaker in his prime.
Alright, but anyways, we're gonna move forward to UFC Fight Night 148, and now, there's a lot of fighters on here, because, again, I am not a fight expert that I do not know, and I'm not going to pretend like I know them. So I'm going to pick Angela Hill by decision. I'm going to, one, two, skip a few onto the main card, and I am going to take Luis Pena by decision. Moving forward... This card, the last couple cards have been, like, bangers. And this one's a lot of people who are up-and-comers, so people you wouldn't know very well.
Yeah.
So, we're going to bet on this fight. And, what did we bet that the loser owes the winner last time?
I don't know, lunch for a week or something?
Not for a week, what the fuck? No, they just gotta buy the beer next time.
Oh, okay.
And for the boxing fights, we'll bet on it for the next card. Sound fair?
Sounds good to me.
All right, so for this episode, we're just going to do the UFC, and I'm going to have you back next weekend for the UFC, and we'll bet on boxing.
Okay.
All right. So Curtis Blaydes versus Justin Willis. I'm going to take Curtis Blaydes. I could see ground and pound TKO, but I'm feeling... I don't want to pick some decisions on all of these fights, so I'm going to say ground and pound TKO round two or three. Who are you feeling? Curtis Blaydes or Justin Willis?
Well, obviously I have to pick the opposite and go with Justice Willis, so it's not much of a bet.
All right, how are you going to pick him by way of?
Decision.
Decision? All right, that just seems reasonable. Now, we have a great fight on this card. And it might be the only great fight that you guys are aware of on this card. Steven Wonderboy Thompson versus Anthony Showtime Pettis. Let's go. Let's go.
All right.
I am taking Steven Thompson by decision. I don't think a TKO happens on his part. I could see Anthony Pettis getting a TKO. I could see Anthony Pettis getting a decision. However, I think in 9 planets out of 10... Steven Thompson is going to get this done by decision.
Interesting, because I don't disagree with you. I actually have felt that Pettis was on the downside for a while now.
Did you see him in the Ferguson fight, though?
Yeah.
He looked prime as ever. I thought he would have won that fight if he didn't break his hand.
And that's a fair point.
No, he looked great. I'm taking Steven Wonderboy Thompson. So really, the only fight we're disagreeing on is Curtis Blaydes.
Yeah.
Boy.
Not much of a bet right there. Maybe we'll do better with the box.
It's not a great card, is it?
It's not a great card.
Maybe we just split the cost of beer and we bet on the next card.
Yeah, that might be the better option. All right,
well, you come back next week and we're going to bet on the next card. But we're going to talk about some other things. Okay, guys? Okay. Did you hear that McGregor went to jail?
Yeah, I heard something about that.
He, like, broke a guy's phone in Florida.
Yeah.
Probably on the cocaine.
Why else do you break phones?
I don't know. I'm just talking shit, guys, because we were a little buzzed. But I don't know. I guess he was like leaving some club. The guy might have just been harassing him. I tried looking it up more, but every source was kind of saying something a little different. So like, I mean, what I assume happened is some guy was chasing him with a phone taking pictures, and he was like, stop, and the guy didn't stop, and he was just pissed off.
Yeah, that's the impression I get. I mean, McGregor has fuck you money at this point in time, so he just does whatever he wants. He went to jail
for it, though. I mean, I don't know. He's not. I don't think he has U.S. citizenship, so screw up too many times. I mean, he's so rich and so famous, I doubt he gets banned from the U.S., but, like, it's possible.
Yeah, it's possible. That would suck,
because if you want to make money in fighting, you go to Vegas. Like, you don't, you know, unless you're Anthony Joshua, you don't really fight anywhere else.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, McGregor's such a big draw, he doesn't really care.
Yeah, I guess he really doesn't care, because he would draw a crowd in freaking backyard
brawl. Right
now, yeah.
Yeah, he would.
Speaking of backyard brawling, Jorge Masvidal actually used to do that with, like, Kimbo Slice and them, I think.
Really?
Yeah, there's videos of him in, like, a backyard fucking people up.
That's funny.
Yeah, no, that's what makes it so awesome. I'm a huge fan. Yeah, no, I wanted to talk about that. Now, I'm going to change subjects real quick.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to interview you for a second.
Oh, boy.
All right, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
So you know how in basketball, everyone has really cool names like LeBron James and Stephen Curry?
Yeah.
What would be your basketball name? God, you have to change your name.
Have to change it?
Yep, something cool.
Dude, I don't think you can make anything cool out of Tyler James.
No, you change your first and last name to something else.
Shit, man, you put me too much on the spot. I can't think of anything good.
Yeah, it's talking to the mic, bro. Don't talking to me. All right, you want to hear mine?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so there's Steph Curry, right?
Yeah.
I'd be Y Alfredo.
Why Alfredo?
I know, that's bad. All right. I was thinking about it. And did you hear that LeBron James' son, like, didn't want to wear his number because he didn't want people to know who he was? And LeBron James' son, take a guess at what his name is. And just think outside the box. Don't say what you're about to say.
Don't say what I'm about to say?
Yeah, I saw it in your eyes.
Did you? Because I was thinking LeBron.
Yeah, I knew what you were thinking. Now, take a guess. Because that first guess was correct.
Shit, he named him LeBron?
LeBron James Jr. doesn't want to let wear his dad, LeBron James, his number. Now, this might have just been a meme, and I'm wrong, but, like, I saw somewhere
I want to believe you're right.
Well, I heard somewhere from someone that he didn't want to wear his dad's numbers because he didn't want people to know who he was. But his name is LeBron James Jr., and I don't care about other sports, but, like, someone was telling me about this, so I hope it's correct. If it's false, pretend like I didn't bring this up. I'm going to do a little research in between segments here, I think.
I'm looking it up now because I really want to believe it's real.
All right, you look it up, and I'm going to talk about why you guys should be excited for this fight night card. And it's honestly really just the main event, and because... it's a UFC fight night, so you can watch it all on ESPN. You got a PS4, you got an Xbox One, you put it on your PS4, you put it on your Xbox One, it's on TV. You don't have it, that, you know, get one of those, whatever your phone is, Lightning or USB-C into HDMI, plug that shit in, play it, boy. Also, I've been playing Assassin's Creed nonstop. I played the first one. And I forgot how bad voice acting used to be in video games, because it's from, like, 2007, and, like, the opening line is, not the opening line, but, like, one of the first lines you hear the protagonist say, he's like, I'm your superior in rank and skill. And someone who says things like that in real life, we call a cunt.
Yeah.
We call him a cunt fart. Like, if fucking Altair said that to me, I'd headbutt him in his butthole, so, you know, I love the game, though. It's just, I forgot how, you know, I knew the graphics would be bad because they're old, but, like, it looks like a PS2 game, and the dialogue kind of bad, and the gameplay is repetitive, but I still had a freaking blast playing through it, except for all the bugs that they didn't fix. All right, wait, you pulled something up?
Yeah, it says here the son actually took on the jersey number. It doesn't seem like there was any problem there.
Oh, never mind. All right, guys, I'm full of shit. Also, I'm on Assassin's Creed 2 now, but it's the remastered version for PS4, and I have beaten Assassin's Creed 2 about two times for sure, like almost 100%ed it on Xbox 360, and so now I'm playing it on my PS4, And Assassin's Creed 2 looked much better than Assassin's Creed 1, but very much the same in that the color palette was, like, pretty gray and, like, muddy colored.
Yeah.
And, like, the graphics weren't great. Because I went back and played it after it was super popular. I was probably, like, 12 when I went back and played it. So I was still young, but, like, it had been out for a while when I was 12, I think. Like, a few years. And so now that it's on PS4, it almost looks like a PS4 game. Like, the buildings and stuff do, but the character models still look a little old. So it's crazy playing it where it's not, like, all these gray colors and stuff. It's, like, all these vibrant colors. It's, like, amazing playing back through it again.
Really?
Yeah, it looks amazing. I'll show it to you. It's not, like, Spider-Man great because the character models are older, but, like, that's how you do a freaking remaster, guys. And I'm rebeating all of them because I'm a goddamn nerd. Also, Cheyenne was like, I've never played Assassin's Creed. I'm like, great, I'll get all of them.
God, dude.
Great excuse to rebeat all of them because there's two I haven't played, and I've played all but two. So
technically, you only need one because they're all the same.
Get the fuck out of here. They are not all the same. They're actually all very different. I think 2 is one of the best ones ever. Like, of the entire series, I'd put it in the top, like, 3. And I'm not going to rank my top 3, because then people are going to hate me if they're gamers. And if they're not gamers, they don't want to hear it. So
yeah. I don't know, dude. I got bored playing those. I mean...
Okay, so the first one's repetitive as fuck, but I enjoyed it. The second one is fucking amazing, especially remastered, because now it looks good. But, like, gameplay-wise, it's a freaking great game.
Okay.
And it's, like, one of the only Assassin's Creeds where, like, you upgrade your armor and your health and shit, and, like, it shows up. Like, you're actually wearing what you just purchased an upgrade for. It's really cool. And then I wasn't huge on Brotherhood, but I'm going to replay it, too. And Revelations I wasn't huge on, but I'm going to replay it as well. I know someone's freaking out right now. And I loved Assassin's Creed 3, which is really Assassin's Creed 5, I think. People are going to hate on me for that. That's one of my favorite ones. What came after that? Was it Syndicate? No, I'm getting jiggy with it. It was Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag. Not crazy on it, but it was a great game. Then was Rogue, which I didn't get to play, but I'm going to play through it soon. And then on the same release date, they released Assassin's Creed Unity, which I did play. Didn't care for how they ended it, but great game. Then was Syndicate, which was the only other one I didn't get to play. And then after Syndicate, I think they took like 2 years off, and they came out with Origins, which I did play, which was good, although I don't like the RPG elements as much as I like the traditional Assassin's Creed style. And now they have another one that's an RPG. So I guess there's 3 I haven't played yet, because I'm waiting to play the new one until I rebeat all the old ones.
Yeah.
And it's, Odyssey. It looks badass, but again, I want them to go back to, like, their normal Assassin's Creed thing, which I think they're gonna do. But it looks awesome. I mean, you could play as a girl through the whole story if you want, or a guy, so that's really cool. It's completely voice-acted both ways, which must have taken forever.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But I respect it. I love it. But that's enough about gaming, because don't want to bore y'all to death. Is there any good boxing cards coming up that I don't know about? Because boxing's just kind of like, oh, hey, we're here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll look that up real quick so we can get a good answer. I know that Pacquiao versus Broner should be coming up.
Didn't that just happen?
No.
Adrian Broner?
Yeah, not yet.
Did he not just fight Pacquiao, like, a couple weeks ago? We talked about it, where Pacquiao, like, beat him by a super dominant decision. Broner's like, I do it for... Oh, no. Adrian Broner's the dude with the neck tattoos, huh?
Oh, no, dude. Yeah, you're right.
It did just happen, right?
It did just happen. It was so forgivable.
It was a super dominant... No, it was a dominant win. Well, because, yeah, like, Adrian Broner was talking about, like, how he's doing it for poor people, and, like, I was like, Pacquiao's from... like, poverty-stricken areas of the Philippines. Like,
yeah, I remember that.
If anyone's doing it for poor people, it's not you, sir. Yeah, I remember because we were watching, like, Adrian Broner on pads and stuff, and I was like, I just don't think he's at the level of Pacquiao, and then Pacquiao won that fight. I can't believe you forgot about that. You're supposed to be the boxing guy.
I know.
Damn. What is this, bro?
I have no excuse
what
for that.
What is this? Yeah, there's no excuse for that except laziness and fuckery.
Literally laziness. Yeah, I just wait for Floyd to come back. That's all I wait for.
Yeah, yesterday when we were trying to shoot this episode, he's wearing a fucking Floyd Mayweather shirt.
Yes.
Now he's wearing a Sugar Ray Robinson shirt, which I cannot hate on.
No one can hate on that one.
Do you own any shirts that aren't of boxers?
No, not really.
All right, so let's go back to interview mode here, okay? Lean in. Talk to the mic. All right, so what all have I asked you? I've asked you all the good things. Now, do you think you'll ever get in the ring?
Yeah, eventually here I'll get in the ring.
That'd be awesome. Cause, you know, I thought you were 27. I was like, well, he's about to enter his prime, but he's a little old. He'll never be able to go pro if he's that old. But, like, at the age you're at, you could still go pro at, like, a normal age. Like, 25, 27, that's not too late to turn pro.
Yeah.
If you've been training prior to that. See, I thought you were 27, and I was like, damn, he's too old to go pro, but I can get him in an exhibition or something. So, I mean, I've got the opponent for you. I mean, I'm sure they don't know any local boxers, so I'm going to save names.
Yeah.
Not talk shit, but I think you'll put him down, even though he's got a bunch more fights than you. Air quotes when I say fights. Air quotes when I say he can fight. I offered to move up to 170 to fight this guy, and I'm nowhere near 170. My walk-around weight's like 145.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Do not like him at all, but let's move forward with some questions. All right, so when you're with girls, do you like a petite girl? Do you like them big and chunky? You cannot stop my mic. He tried to stop the mic. He tried to stop the recording. Can you believe that, guys?
Damn, man.
Stop. You're not stopping the podcast. You're just going to avoid the question?
I'm going to totally abstain from that question.
All right, man. Ready?
Stop your trying, man.
Here's how I usually end interviews.
What's up?
Do you eat ass? Or have you ever eaten ass? And by ass, I mean booty hole.
I have not done that.
But you're open to it.
I would be if it's the right person.
Really? That's disgusting, bro. What if you get like a little poo flake on your tongue?
I don't know. If we're talking like Jennifer Lawrence, I can deal with it.
I don't think I can deal with it unless there's some serious money on the table. You're going to deal with a poo flake? On your tongue.
If it's Jennifer Lawrence, yes.
I don't think I could deal with a poo flake on my tongue if it's fucking... if it's anyone. I mean, definitely that would be one of the better poo flakes to get on your tongue, I suppose. But like... I don't know, man. That's really gross. You're open to it though, huh?
Yeah, man. I don't have morals.
I don't know if that's a moral, is it? As much as, like, I just don't want poo flakes on my tongue. Like a dry poo flake. Think about it. Not like a snowflake. It's poo.
Who are you hanging out with? How do you think... That is not how I envision Jennifer Lawrence, man.
Yeah, I'm sure there's, like, one stray poo.
No, like, I don't believe so. She's too rich.
It's not like someone fucking blow dries her butthole every morning. Like,
I'm pretty sure that's standard in Hollywood.
I don't know where you've been, bro. Welcome to Montana, where we don't know shit. But so you're open to that, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Now, next question. This is a hard-hitting question, okay? I need you to rapid-fire this one.
Okay.
Do you like them big and chunky, or...
Small and petite, I guess.
Okay, finally I get an answer, dude. It's been weeks.
God, I'm willing to give in just to let it stop.
All right, now, would you rather pee when you poo... Or poo when you pee?
Either.
No, it has to be one or the other.
All right.
How would you rather works?
Pee when I poo. That's easy.
Yeah, that is an easy one, huh? I thought it'd be harder.
Yeah, man. You gotta try harder.
Would you rather have bees for fingers or wasps for toes?
Jesus Christ, I hate bees.
They're gonna sting you. Wasps sting harder than bees. One sec. Yeah, wasps sting harder than bees.
I'll go with the wasp just because it just sounds more badass.
Well, and they're on your feet, so like maybe people are less likely to know you have a shit ton of them on you at all times.
Makes sense.
Because you need fingers. I mean, you need feet too, but like...
Plus we box, so we don't really have to make good decisions anymore.
Yeah, I know.
That's over with.
I guess I'd rather have hands than feet if that was the question. And that's kind of the question, except you're getting stung. So I guess the real answer is suicide there. So we forgot to talk about Volkan Özdemir being covered in hair and looking like the bad guy from Creed 2. Yes. I remember we were talking about that. I almost forgot to talk about it.
Yes, he did. He really did. I loved it.
I know. I was like, damn, he's getting thick and like muscle thick, not fat thick. Like he just looked like the bad guy. I was like, why didn't he play the bad guy from Creed 2?
He just didn't have that rage in his eyes.
I guess you're right. I don't know. Yeah, he looked like he was just like there to hurt someone. Not that the other guy didn't, but like, you know, he looked like he didn't care that he was there to hurt someone. So I don't know. But, one thing I wanted to share with you on the podcast was that before my fight, my cousin works at that gym, right? Fuel.
Yeah.
So he gives me a free smoothie thing, and it's like protein and kale and like, I don't know what else.
You lost me at kale.
Well, so the point is it's like a healthy protein drink with veggies in it. And that morning, because, you know, you're supposed to eat like several small snacks, I had like eggs with spinach.
Yeah.
So, like, it's my second spinach kale smoothie after my spinach eggs. And probably shit like 3 times before my fight, dude. I was like spraying. Dude, you'd think I was a...
Really? That's what you ate before your fight?
Yeah, you'd think I was a sprinkler. Well, I ate real food, too. No, that's what I ate for breakfast that morning. I just, because, you know, I wanted to eat, like, light, not super heavy. I just wanted to eat something good and protein heavy.
Do steak and potatoes next time. Sugar Ray Robinson was talking about how that was his go-to.
Really?
Yeah, and if it's good enough for the best of all time, it's good enough for you.
See, and I mean, I don't want to talk about this on the podcast too much in case people I hate listen to it, but like...
What are you going to do, poison your steak?
Well, no, I'm going to like listen to that I don't know shit about like what I'm supposed to eat before a fight, so like...
I don't know, I think that's like a personal preference, but...
I don't know, man. Like, I'm sure someone's eaten McDonald's that's gotten in the ring. So as long as I'm not doing that, I feel like I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
In
fairness, Sugar Ray Robinson also would drink, like, beef blood. So maybe he's not the best role model.
Yeah, I don't want to model myself after him anymore.
But the steak and potatoes is a good idea.
Really? I just feel like I don't know, man.
I lost you on the blood, huh?
You lost me on the steak and potatoes, too. That just seems like a bad breakfast. Seems like a good way to ruin the first meal of the day. I feel like that's an after food. Also, we bought these Nerf guns. And we've been in, like, massive shootouts all day. And if you look to your right there, there's a jacket that's hanging from the coat hook that has a Nerf bullet just... Okay. Suspended in the air on it. Somehow it managed to land in a crease of the jacket and stay there. It's those little round bullets. I just noticed that. It's been distracting me for a few minutes of this podcast now. I had to point it out. Now, I know this podcast's been off topic. You know, we're not super buzzed, but we're buzzed enough. We're coherent enough to podcast this time. And
I don't think we're even going to remember any of this tomorrow.
I'm definitely gonna remember this. I'm only like a few beers deep, bro.
I'm gonna repress it. I'm gonna choose to forget.
You're gonna choose to forget. It's episode 5, dude. The only way people are gonna remember it in a year is if they're listening back. Anyways, you're Tyler James.
Yeah.
I'm Wyatt Daniels. And this has been episode 5 of Riotcast. I hope I really hope you guys enjoyed, because I've kind of just been on tangents. I didn't have any interview questions really set up for him.
I refused to be interviewed, but you can ask me who I think.
He literally refused to be interviewed. It was weird. And then I found out he wasn't 27, and he doesn't keep his ID on him, so I don't know if he's really not 27 or if he's just telling me he's not 27, but he looks like he's 12, so we're not sure. The jury is out, and I will see you guys next week. Thank you for tuning in. Again, I hope you enjoyed. Have fun out there, guys. Say bye.
Bye.
Say you love him.
No.
Say you love him.
I don't know who's watching this.
I don't know who's watching either, but I love you unless you're like someone I don't want to listen to this.
I don't trust him.
I mean, I trust him.